The opinions and statements expressed in the following program do not necessarily reflect those of WWDB, its staff, or management.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome again to another edition of Boomer Generation Radio. This is your host, Richard Address, coming to you from the studios of WWDB AM 860 here in Greater Philadelphia and streaming live on WWDBAM.com. Boomer Generation Radio, talking about issues that really impact our generation, our families. And we have a couple of very, very interesting guests to be with us this morning, both calling in. And I'm hoping that Dr. Joanne White is there on the line. Dr. White, are you there?
Hello, I am. How are you?
Hi, it's good to speak with you again. Nice to hear your voice on this really beautiful sunny morning in Philadelphia. It's amazing. Nobody knows what to do with it except the traffic's crazy. We're very pleased to welcome Dr. Joanne White here to Boomer Generation Radio. Dr. White is an international author and speaker, a certified professional coach, a business consultant, an energy master teacher. We're going to get into that. And executive producer of TV and her own radio show, Power Your Life. We're very, very pleased to welcome you, Dr. White. And you've written this book, The Baby Boomers Handbook for Women. as a man, I guess as a baby boomer man, I guess I have to ask you firstly, why a baby boomers handbook for women?
Well, firstly, I'm a co-author, and so there are several other authors, international consultants, seminar leaders, coaches, and doctors, and the network that we belong to, this very powerful network, Professional Women Network International. And so that's one of the reasons it was for women, based on the network.
But wow. Okay.
It's also very much geared, I think, to that the book itself and what's in the book is also geared for men. So I think it's important for both men and women.
You have a chapter in there on creative aging?
Yes, I do.
And what is that exactly? I mean, define it. I mean, creative aging.
Creative aging?
Yeah.
Well, you know, baby boomers like us have defied all sorts of convention and have set new perceptions and new models for living, for loving, for working, for parenting. And so the same is true, I believe, in terms of aging. So it's really about, okay, we now have an opportunity and a responsibility to really create a new paradigm for aging as we're facing our own aging process. And I think that's what baby boomers are doing. That's what we're doing. So it's like questioning some of the old structures, taking a look at the retirement age that used to be 65 and whatever, and saying, well, wait a minute, that doesn't pertain to me anymore. I may want to go on with working or do different kinds of things, or now that I'm ended one career, maybe it's time to begin another career or do something else that's interesting. So again, I think it's very important, and it's a very exciting time to really take a look at looking at our own beliefs, our images, our realities of aging, and really also I think we have a responsibility to the younger generations to also pave the way for our children, our grandchildren, and some of us even have great-grandchildren.
This intergenerational thing you just mentioned seems to be getting a little bit more press lately, and whether it's generational wars or not, I'm finding just in my work around the country and stuff that there's a real sense I'm picking up on the part of our generation to really give something back to the next generation. This rise in like legacy programs and a sense of we want to leave something of merit and value much more than material things. Are you finding that?
Yeah, I think that's true. And I find, too, that a lot of baby boomers are very interested in mentoring. I know that's something that I do, and I love it. It's really helping the younger generations kind of grow from our knowledge and really kind of being there as a support system. And it's very, very fulfilling, very rewarding, not only to the people who are doing the mentoring, but also to the mentees. So I think it's something, it's another way of contributing. It's important. And I don't know that it's just about leaving a legacy, Rabbi Address. I think it's also just about recognizing that, yes, it's legacy, but we also have a responsibility. We have knowledge. We've kind of pushed past boundaries in our lives, and it's a way of sharing that knowledge. And I think it comes out of a necessity. I know for me, it comes out of a necessity for, yes, wanting to give back and wanting to share my knowledge and what I've learned, sometimes through hardship and through challenges, but a way of maybe even helping to ease the way for some of the younger generation.
You know, you mentioned the idea of learning from hardship or challenges. Nobody, what's that old bumper sticker? Nobody gets out of life unscathed or something
right.
like that. Everybody has. Are you finding you're a coach, you're involved with all kinds of this issue, really interpersonal relations and moving people through life stages and transitioning them. But are you finding within your work with the boomers, how do the people you deal with face the challenge of really letting go of the past or that part of the past that can hinder their future growth?
You know, I think that's important because I think that even though we're looking to a future that may not necessarily be totally defined, and there may be, as we get older, there's a lot of loss. Oftentimes people, relationships shift, there are transitions that we go through, and sometimes transition isn't always comfortable. There can be discomfort with it. I think that you have to release what stands in your way. I know that forgiveness is something that I cultivate in my life, and you can go back and look at incidents or people in your life that have crossed you in some way or incidents that have kind of turned sour, and rather than dwelling on them, and people do, but rather than dwelling on them and really allowing them to fester, it's about letting it go and also letting, just being able to let go of that in a very, I think, in a very loving way, and to somewhat make peace with the past. Don't hold on to past hurts or disappointments or anger towards a person or a situation, and also forgive yourself. Sometimes as we get to this point, some people say, well, I didn't do that much, or I could have done more, or I should have done more for my child or my grandchild or at work or whatever. So don't carry that around. I believe that it is time to create and recreate ourselves, and holding on to that is also a burden, and it doesn't help, and it doesn't change anything. I also think that we have to let go of stereotypes. There are lots of stereotypes about aging that we've embraced. I know I used to embrace them, and a lot of them are not positive. They're negative, and sometimes even the media has shown baby boomers as old and not being able to function or think or whatever. And I don't know that that's necessarily true. I think that we do go through challenges. Some of them are physical, some of them are mental and emotional, and like I said, there's that loss. But let's let go of the old stereotypes that make us believe something that may not be true and that can also hold us back.
Have you ever, in working with people who, in this forgiveness and letting go and moving on, have you ever had a request or an opportunity to create or use a ritual that literally would, in essence, bury the past or allow for forgiveness or to purge oneself of regrets and stuff? Have you ever run across that?
I think ritual is very important, and I think that oftentimes somebody creating their own ritual. So, and I've worked with people, just worked with somebody recently in terms of creating a ritual for, it was really about letting go of something, and it was something that the ritual came from her heart,
mm-hmm.
and probably probably spiritually guided, and so I think it was much more meaningful than me giving her a ritual, because it was something that actually she felt very connected to, and it's something that she's using. So I think ritual is very important, and I also think spirituality at this time of our lives, well, throughout our lives, but I think at this time of our lives is also very, very important to hold on to.
I want to pick up on that. The idea that there's all kinds of studies out now across the denominations, and the Pew Institute has really pioneered some of this, but also other places as well, of this rise of spirituality at the same time a retreat from affiliation with organized religion. Are you picking this up in your work?
Definitely. I think that people want to be connected in some way, whether it's through meditation and communion with a higher power or communion with others, and they may not be finding it in organized religion, and they're finding it in other ways, and they're looking for a way to have faith, and they're looking for a way for spiritual practices and spiritual beliefs, and I don't know that they're necessarily finding it like in churches or synagogues. But I think it's important. I think faith can actually help lead to a deeper understanding and a sense of purpose in one's life, and also create this heartfelt connection to others and to the universe and to the world around us. Some of the rituals in religion, I think, are incredible. I know that there are some people, and I've worked with some people, who love the rituals and love the connection that their faith and their religion has brought them, but they're a little bit disconcerted with the organization, the organized religion, and so they embrace what they want to from it and walk away from what they don't find meaningful.
No, I'm finding the same thing. There's this desire to really, in many ways, develop personalized rituals based upon a particular need. And I think that's really emerged out of the boomer, you know, pathway from the 60s on, to seeking personal meaning or something. And
you know, I think it's important. I think oftentimes, I remember working with somebody a while ago, many, many years ago, who, when we did meditation, when I helped showed her meditation, she was very upset, and she felt that she was not able, from her religious beliefs, that she was not able to access God by herself, that she needed an intercessor, that she needed someone else, like a go-between. And she felt that she was stepping on toes by being able to have that personal communion. I was surprised, because that's not my belief system. And also, I think that when we have that personal communion, that personal connection to God or a higher power, it makes it so much meaningful. And it doesn't mean that rabbis and priests, and it doesn't mean that they're not doing their job, but it also means that I think in the quiet, when you're alone with yourself and you're alone with God or your higher power, you have to be able to create a relationship, an active, meaningful relationship and bond that really is incredibly personal. And I don't think anybody needs to interfere with that or say, well, it's not good enough, or it's not correct, or you're not getting it.
Yeah, I think that's you're absolutely correct, and I think that's one of the explosions that's happening, especially with the boomers. This desire to seek that higher power or that sense of meaning or something beyond oneself, and the creation of something personal, if necessary, if they can't get it at their local church or synagogue. We're speaking with Dr. Joanne White, author, coach, host of Power Your Life radio show. And before we take this little break, Dr. White, if somebody wants to get in touch with you, and we'll talk about some of the other media and things that you're involved with, how do they do that?
Well, they can go to my website, drjoannewhite.com, drjoannewhite.com, or email me at joanne@drjoannewhite.com. I answer all emails.
Thank you. We'll be right back after I bring you this word from another very, very good friend of Boomer Generation Radio, the Hecht Investment Group of Jenny Montgomery Scott. The Hecht Investment Group, which provides concierge financial consulting and planning services, using a formal investment process as their foundation. Clients receive frequent communication and rapid response to questions. There are no needs greater than your own when it comes to personal financial planning. The Hecht Investment Group provides experienced guidance and an efficient management process that is important in today's environment. And they really take an interest in you as an individual and spend the time with you to really work through your needs, your goals, and get to know who you are as an individual and or a family. You can contact the Hecht Investment Group toll-free at 855-289-2168. That's 855-289-2168. Tell them you heard about it on Boomer Generation Radio. You can visit Hecht Investment Group at hechtinvestmentgroup.com. And the Hecht Investment Group also is on Twitter and LinkedIn and Facebook. And Peter Hecht, of the Hecht Investment Group, we're happy to announce, was recognized by Philadelphia Magazine and New Jersey Magazine as a five-star wealth manager for 2013 and 2014. And Jenny Montgomery Scott, as many of you know, is a member of the NYSE, FINRA, F-I-N-R-A, and SIPC. That's the Hecht Investment Group of Jenny Montgomery Scott. We're back with Dr. Joanne White, author, a coach, host of Power Your Life Radio. Dr. White.
And TV.
What TV shows? You're on.
Power Your Life. We are branding Power Your Life. So I've moved. I Power Your Life Radio and TV on WMCN.
WNCN?
MCN.
M as in mother.
M as in mother.
NCN as in Nancy.
WM as in mother, MCN as in Nancy, right. That's
cool.
Correct.
And when does that air? When does that air?
8 o'clock on Wednesday evening.
And that's on, is it, since I don't know anything about the TV, is that an internet thing or is it?
It's actually cable TV, but if people have missed it, they can actually go to YouTube and find a lot of the different shows.
Oh, wow. That's pretty cool. Thank you for telling me that. That's really nice. And that goes all over the country or is it just...
Well, YouTube does, but the cable TV, parts of Pennsylvania, Philadelphia, New Jersey, Delaware, and a little bit of Maryland.
Wow, that's very, very nice. Thank you. Congratulations.
Thank you. It's exciting.
It is exciting. I also see you sent me a note that you have this online coaching program, the self-sustainability system. Is that correct?
Yes, that's not set up yet. That's coming up in May. So.
And can you walk us through real quickly, what is the self-sustainability system?
Okay, so sustainability is very, very important, and sustainability is about making sure that when we're using environmental resources, the earth or whatever, we're not destroying it, but we're allowing it to have some longevity so it's there for future generations, so we tread lightly and lovingly. And I decided the same thing is true for ourselves, to be able to sustain ourselves through the long haul of life and do so lovingly and healthfully. It's about creating ways to do that emotionally, physically, mentally, financially, spiritually, in terms of relationships. And so that's kind of what that whole self-sustainability system is about, making sure that you're taking care of you on all these different levels. And so there are videos, there are webinars, there's actually online coaching with me and worksheets and ways to be able to do that. I'm also hoping to bring on some other people as part of that, so it's not just Dr. Joanne White, but it's other people who are giving their wonderful guidance and expertise to help us through that.
You know, this coaching thing, you mentioned it on the self-sustainability system that you're developing. Why do you think that there's this real increase in desire for this concept of coaching, this professional, personal coaching? What's going on with that?
You know, it is. I've been watching it, too, because it is interesting. When I became a coach, it wasn't something that everybody was doing. Again, I think, firstly, I have a coach. I think it's wonderful to have somebody that's in your corner, that gets to know you on somewhat of an intimate level, your ups, your downs, and is there kind of to be a mentor or be able to help you move forward in your life, whether it's in relationships or career or work or whatever, or business. And yet I also think that people are feeling the need to be coaches. There's a need. I think that there's a real need. There's a lot of polarities going on. So I think that there's a real need to help people and to reach out and to connect. We have so much disconnection sometimes with everything that's going on. So this is one way to create relationships and to give back. And I also think that people are looking for that way of having somebody in their lives other than their immediate family and friends who, although are connected to them and close, can actually stand back a little bit and not be judgmental and be impartial.
You seem to stress a lot, and this is a very powerful message, I think, that you deliver, this nature of the creative process that rests within each individual and the desire to tap into that creative process. So could you just speak a little bit on so I'm sure from my knowledge of what you're just saying and some of your other stuff, that the role of creativity as we grow older, against the stereotype of, oh, we're at X age and all we have to do is just punt or just coast. But this idea of how important is being constantly creative and energized and focused on a goal is it to us as we age?
Well, I think we have to look at what creativity is. I think that we're constantly, and we can constantly create and recreate our life. So that's something that I love to do. And I think creativity is a way of kind of tapping into that spiritual, that source that's within us. It's not just spiritual, but it's all the gifts that God-given or higher power gifts that we have and a way of being able to express them. And it doesn't necessarily mean that we have to create a masterpiece, a work of art or something, but it's a way of being creative in our lives. I remember years ago when I was in my 20s, I was living in an apartment building, and there was a woman who I just used to look at in kind of awe, just the way she went about her life, Rabbi Adra. It was just a very creative way, even the way she cooked, the way she cleaned her house, the way she entertained. And I don't really know how to describe it, but what I drew from that was that there's a way of being that's creative, looking at things in a different way, oftentimes we get into just doing things the same way that we did it yesterday or the day before. We kind of get into ruts about it. So being creative in our lives could be suddenly walking down a new street or taking a new route to work and paying attention to the world around us with new eyes and almost like a child would, and being able to see things and pick up things differently. So I think creativity can be in the way that we live and in our expression of how we feel or our connection to one another, and also about creating whatever it is we create. I love to write, and as you notice, and I also just think that creative expression is a way for me. I mean, I also love to dance, and when I used to dance, and I don't mean like dancing like ballroom dancing, but just kind of dancing in my room to mm-hmm. music. It was, for me, it was a way of a very spiritual connection to my higher power, almost like a rejoicing. And I don't know how to describe that other than that. And so I think that creativity is very important. It's a way of nurturing ourselves. And it also, if we're doing something for others, it's also a way of giving back to other people and an expression of wanting to share our gifts and wanting to share knowledge, information, and joy with other people.
It reminds me a little bit of this. It was an expression that a friend of mine once quoted when we were in a previous work engagement, that he said, if it ain't broke, break it. And it just struck me, it's just exactly what you're saying, you know, this idea of the power of just allowing yourself and your soul to continue to be, you know, to get what's beyond the horizon, or just continue to think the new thought. Because I've seen, as you have seen, I'm sure, people who don't do that, and they get stagnant. Their soul dies, and they die, and not physically, emotionally, and spiritually. And it's a challenge.
I remember a friend of mine who's now deceased, who one day we were having a phone conversation, Rabbi, and he said that he had no more dreams.
Oh.
And I don't mean nighttime dreams, but
no, I know
more dreams. And I thought, wow, how could you not have any dreams? Even if it's just to hold a flower, or, you know, something, again, in terms of renewal in your life. And it was sad. And then about a month later, he died. And I thought to myself, I never voiced it to anybody else, that well, we still need to hold on to our dreams. We still need to hold on to creative expression, because it's very much a part of who we are as individuals, and I think it's healthy to do so. And like you said, we get stagnant if we don't, and I think it's a way that we consistently nourish ourselves from within, inside out, kind of.
So before we run out of time, we just have a couple of minutes left in this segment. Just in this concept of the work that you've been doing and the book again, The Baby Boomers Handbook for Women, on your TV show, the radio show, on this whole idea of creative aging. I'll put you on the spot. Give me the top two tips that you would give someone for this creative aging. You had this, you know, give me the top two things you would suggest to a person. These are the top two things that you want to think about.
Okay, so I think during creative aging, it's about taking a look at your lifestyle. So, because lifestyle is really important in how you age. So that could be in terms of your physical body, your mental exercise, your emotionality, your spiritual nourishment. What are you doing to help yourself age successfully? And you have to take responsibility for it. Really, that's important. And in terms of being creative, what are you doing to help you embrace and cultivate who you are as you age, in terms of your authenticity, your creativity, your productivity, your passion, community, and civic engagement? I think those are what keep us alive and youthful in so many ways, and connected, and allow that passion and that vibrancy and that exuberance to flow, no matter, and to keep that twinkle in someone's eyes, no matter how old or young they are.
Keep the twinkle, that's definitely. Before we say goodbye to Dr. Joanne White, real fast, somebody wants to get a hold of you again. How do they do that?
They can go to drjoannewhite.com. They can even call me at 856-795-5854 or email me at joanne@drjoannewhite.com.
Dr. Joanne White, thank you very, very much for being with us here on the first segment of Boomer Generation Radio. I really appreciate it. Continued good luck, and just take care of yourself. Thank you very, very, very much. Much happiness, joy, and peace to you.
My pleasure.
In your future.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Adres, for having me. Have a blessed day.
You too. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Before we move into our second segment, our Kendall segment, I just want to remind you of another good friend of Boomer Generation Radio, and that's the Samaritan Healthcare. They've asked me to remind you, because this is something that comes up a lot, if you're worried about your parents' failing memory, or if you're concerned about your parents' safety at home and not sure where to turn for help. If you've answered yes, or these are concerns of yours, we want to make you aware of SeniorWise. A SeniorWise geriatric care managers can provide a comprehensive assessment and care plan, help keep your loved ones safe at home, screen and monitor in-home services, and help you avoid costly mistakes, and if necessary, ease your loved ones' transition to a care facility. SeniorWise is a member of the Samaritan Family of Services, and to speak with a SeniorWise geriatric care manager today, please give them a call at 856-552-5166. That's 856-552-5166. I mentioned Boomer Generation Radio. You can log on as well to www.seniorwisecare.org. That's www.seniorwisecare.org. To speak again with a geriatric care manager, a SeniorWise geriatric care manager, Call them at 856-552-5166. SeniorWise, again, is a member of the Samaritan Family of Services. Welcome back to the Kendall segment of Boomer Generation Radio. This portion of Boomer Generation Radio is brought to you by Kendall, a system of not-for-profit communities and services located in 8 states in the Northeast, Mid-Atlantic, and near Midwest regions of the United States. Kendall advocates for and empowers older adults to reach their full potential and is committed to working with others to together transform the experience of aging. To learn more about Kendall, which is K-E-N-D-A-L, we invite you to visit Kendall.org or call them toll-free at 888-759-0128. That's 888-759-0128. And from the Kendall home in Westlake, Ohio, which is, I think, near Cleveland, I hope, we're very, very pleased to welcome to Boomer Generation Lynn Giacobbe, Executive Director of Kendall at Home in Ohio. Linda, Lynn, are you there?
I am here. Thank you very much.
Hi. Welcome. Welcome. How's you're in Cleveland, right?
We are. We're in the greater Cleveland area, yes.
Well, how's life in Cleveland today?
Well, it's not snowing, so that's a good day.
You've had the same winter we had here in Philadelphia, so it's...
We have. It's been brutal.
Yeah.
But there are definitely signs of spring in the air.
Yes. People here have seen the sun. They don't know what to do with it. They're just they're sacrificing animals. They just, what did we do right, maybe?
It definitely makes you feel better to see the sun.
Oh, no question. No question about it. Kendall at Home is something I'm really fascinated to talk to you about this for a whole variety of reasons. Something's going on in this home care industry with older adults and now boomers moving into perhaps this area. And I in preparation for this conversation, I actually ran across a piece of an interview from the PBS NewsHour a while ago that talked about this desire, more part on the desire of baby boomers now to really be taken care of at home. This we don't want to go into a nursing home, but we're going to, if necessary, move in with friends of ours and age in place in a home surrounded by people we're familiar with. So that triggered again our conversation on Kendall at Home. What is this, and why is it so evidently quite unique?
Well, it is very unique across the country, very unique within the Kendall system. You know, if you're familiar with Kendall, you know that what Kendall is known for are continuing care retirement communities where people actually leave their home and go to live on the retirement community campus and a cottage or an apartment and become a part of that environment. And Kendall has done that exceedingly well for over 40 years. But what Kendall at Home has done is taken that same concept of life care and really brought it to people who maybe don't want to leave the home they've currently live in, but really value the kind of benefits that a continuing care retirement community can offer. And really, we work collaboratively with our members to help enable them to remain successfully in their homes as they age. And we started this program about 10 years ago.
Oh, wow.
Have served over 200-plus members in that 10-year period, and not one of them is living permanently in a nursing home. All of them are living in their own home, some with lots of care in place, and others successfully independent, or maybe with little care intermittently after a knee replacement or an illness or a hospitalization. But, you know, the goal is to help all of us remain as independent as possible for as long as possible.
So you mentioned members. So walk me through this. A member, what does that mean?
Well, it's actually very similar to the way our retirement communities work. The time that someone really begins thinking about putting a plan in place, like Kendall at Home, they're relatively healthy and independent, not in need of a great deal of care at that time. They join our program, and they pay an entry fee and a monthly fee. And the entry fee is based on their age at the time that they come into the program and the program option that they select. And there are various options that a person can select. Most people tend to come into the program under our most comprehensive option, which covers all of their care in their home, in assisted living, or in a facility should they need that over their lifetime. So they pay that entry fee one time, and they begin paying a monthly fee when they join the program. And then they're assigned a care coordinator. And that care coordinator, as your previous guest talked a little bit about well coaches, those kinds of philosophies, we really apply that philosophy when working with our members. Our goal is to help them remain healthy and independent and to achieve their goals. And their goals are what's important. And we work closely with them over the years they're in their program. Often we're working even with their family or loved ones who might be involved. And as their care needs change, we're coordinating the services that they need. And we also pay for those services as they need them.
Does this preempt my using my own primary care doctor? I'm supposed to have a relationship with my doc for 10, 15, 25 years.
No, that's a great question. We partner with your primary care physician, your specialist. If you're having a knee replacement, your orthopedic surgeon would become a part of our treatment team and would be working with us to help direct and guide the kinds of services that they feel are necessary. So, for example, they may recommend physical therapy inpatient or outpatient. And we'll be working with them to help deliver those services to you. So it's coordinating all the kinds of services you might need, whether it's skilled home health care, rehab, therapy, private duty home care, whatever it might be. We're going to be bringing all of those pieces together to deliver seamlessly to you in your home if possible. And if not, we'll coordinate that rehabilitation stay in a skilled rehab center, and then at the time that a person is ready to go home, we're helping to prepare them for discharge and making sure that the services they'll need at home will be in place when they get there.
So this care coordinator, if I'm understanding, it's like the captain of the team, to use, to lapse into my usual sports imagery. Would that be correct, that this care coordinator sort of like is the captain and assigns the duties and roles and on an as-need basis?
They are. They really are directing the care team to deliver the services that the member needs. The member is really driving the care plan. It's the member that's sort of that hub at the spoke in the wheel that is really driving. They're the center of everything. And our goal is to try to meet their needs and help them to achieve whatever level of independence they're striving for. So that care coordinator really serves as their advocate. When they're hospitalized, we're going to be at the hospital. We're coordinating discharge. We're really bringing all the services together and directing that care plan for them. And then we're working closely with that member to make sure their needs are being met. And if the member is not in a position where they're able to drive that care plan, then we're working with their loved one, whomever they've entrusted the power to make the decisions for them.
Is there a minimum age that someone would be eligible to enter this program?
Well, our program really is priced at probably about 50 and up. Our youngest member is in her late 50s, and our oldest member died recently at the age of 102.
Good.
So there's no limit to, how old someone might be when they come into the program.
But from what I'm hearing you say, the minimum age to be considered for this is the post AARP cutoff of 50 years of age. Is that right?
Yes, currently that's correct.
So this is based right now from the Kendall facility in Cleveland. I guess that one of the obvious questions is this just localized to the how are there other programs like this evolving around the United States?
There are. We actually are not part of a facility at all. We are not part of a retirement community campus. We're located independently. We are closely connected to Kendall at Oberlin, which is the retirement community located here in the Cleveland area. It's actually in Lorain County, which is about 25 miles west of Cleveland, mm-hmm. or at least of our location. And they serve approximately 300-plus residents on the campus there. We are located separately and really operate quite separately. We have some strong connections with them and some shared services. And many of our members who live in that general area benefit from the partnership we have with them. They're able to take advantage of services and activities that take place on the campus. But by and large, most of our members live in counties further away from that Kendall campus and really don't participate in much of the campus life at all. You know, for many years, there have been about five programs like this across the country. One actually in your neck of the woods in the Philadelphia area, Friends Life Care, has been around for probably a little over 20 years. And then there have been a few more programs that cropped up. And for a long time, that was it, just the five of us. And then slowly that began to grow. What we're seeing now is significant growth in this area. We know people want to remain in their homes if at all possible. Not everyone can afford the benefits of a beautiful continuing care retirement community. This provides maybe a little more affordable option for some, and it allows people that really want to remain in their homes the ability to do that. And the beauty of it is that if they change their mind and they decide they want to move later on, they can. Some of our members have even moved to the retirement community campus, and we have developed a tandem contract with them so that they're able to continue to receive the benefits of Kendall at home, and then they move onto the campus under a different contract than they might have otherwise. But as we see programs growing, we also see a great opportunity for Kendall to be able to expand this model across the system. And in fact, we're working on that development of the expansion now.
Yeah, from everything I'm reading and everything I'm picking up and the people I talk to, especially our generation, there really is this sense of that moving into that assisted living facility, that's the last resort. That's the last thing. I would stay at home if at all possible. And I know the economic challenges of this can be overwhelming. I see a lot of these families in my office, and sometimes, as you know, the challenges of economics. So this idea, I imagine, of just paying a fee, which would guarantee it's almost sparking in my mind something like concierge medicine. I'm paying a fee, mm-hmm. and for that fee, I'm going to be able to be taken care of on my terms in my home, to the best of everyone's ability, until a crisis occurs where I really have to leave. Is that a bad analogy, that concierge type of a...
No, that's really very closely related to how this program operates. And, you know, that's very true. You know, I think we all know people that have a loved one has gone to a nursing home. They've spent on their assets. They've had to resort to Medicaid to cover the cost of their care over time. Often families are strapped financially trying to provide the kind of care a loved one needs and trying to keep them at home. You know, it's so hard to think about how do we plan ahead for that care? What might those costs be? How likely are we to even need that care? And we know that, you know, over 80% of us over the age of 65 are going to need care at some point.
What percentage?
Over 80% of us are going to need care at some point over the age of 65. And the average length of time that someone needs home care is over 4 years. And the average length of time that we're seeing people live in nursing homes is almost 2.5 years. So when you think about the costs, and in our area, the cost for a nursing home can range anywhere from, $80,000 a year and up. And that's just your basic services in a semi-private room in a nursing home. When you add that to all of the other services that a person might need, it can be astronomically expensive. And how do you plan for that? Experts will tell us that we need to have, nearly $500,000 in order to plan ahead for our future care needs. So we think this is a much more affordable way of doing that. Someone at the age of 75 coming into this program is going to pay less than $50,000 for that membership entry fee. And they'll begin paying that monthly fee. But now they really have a plan in place so that as they need care, that care is going to be delivered to them. Someone with expertise is going to be able to help direct that care plan, oversee the caregivers to make sure that their care needs are being met, relate that back to the family, who oftentimes are living all across the country, and we can communicate with them, what's happening with their loved one. We have a number of members right now struggling with dementia, and family members who are nowhere near here, but concerned about their safety and well-being. They know that they have the resource of that care coordinator whom they can rely on to help put a safety plan in place and make sure that caregivers are there when they need to be, and that the care that is being delivered to their loved one is of the quality that they would want it to be. So the role that that care coordinator plays and the financial plan that they're able to put in place really does provide the optimum level of care, we believe, that we're able to deliver to people that want to be a part of this kind of program.
We're speaking with Lynn Giacobbe, the executive director of Kendall at Home in suburban Cleveland, the Cleveland area in Ohio. And this is just a reminder, since we're speaking about this, that this portion of Boomer Generation Radio today is brought to you by Kendall at Home, which, as we're learning, is a continuing care retirement community without walls. An affiliate of Kendall of Northern Ohio, Kendall at Home works with older adults who are healthy and independent, have planned for their retirement, and want very much to remain in their own homes. Kendall at Home brings new opportunities for growth and development to those individuals who wish to remain in their homes and well-connected to their much-loved community, and yet who still value the benefits of a retirement community that can be offered through that community. And we invite you, as we're learning more from Lynn, to visit www.kendallathome. That's one continuous word, KendallAthome, kendallathome.org. And you're listening to Boomer Generation Radio here on WWDB AM 860 in the Delaware Valley, streaming live on WWDBAM.com. And just a reminder, if you want to contact the program for some suggestions or comments, you can email us at boomergenerationradio@gmail.com. That's boomergenerationradio@gmail.com. And again, you're listening to Boomer Generation Radio on WWDB AM 860 here in the greater Philadelphia area, streaming live on WWDBAM.com. Back with Lynn Giacobbe, the executive director of Kendall at Home in Ohio. This whole idea is, as you're saying, emerging. It's still somewhat of a pioneer effort. Are you getting any, just a thought occurred to me, are you getting any reaction or pushback from the established nursing home lobby on this? Do they see this as an intrusion or a possible threat, or is this totally off base?
No. In fact, we have strong partnerships with the nursing homes in our area because they are a strong provider for us. Many of our members You know, as is the case for so many of us, you know, our joints wear out, knee replacements and hip replacements, or people get ill and, you know, need some time to recuperate. And there are some phenomenal rehabilitation programs that are developed out of these nursing homes. And so we are working hand in hand with them to provide those kinds of services to our members. You know, it is really a core business for each of these nursing homes that provide rehabilitative services to be able to provide the kind of care a member needs in that after that kind of a situation, a hospitalization, a surgery, an illness where they need that. So it isn't that our members aren't utilizing those services. They are. They just aren't utilizing them on a permanent basis. You know, the goal is for them to get back home.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not necessarily our goal or our decision. I can tell you that there are probably nights that I might sleep a little easier knowing that a member is in a nursing home where there's 24-hour staff available and someone to call in case of an emergency. But I think that decision isn't mine to make.
Mm-hmm.
It's the members, their families, their loved ones' decision. And by and large, they want to be in their homes in the place that they feel most comfortable. And that's what we really strive to achieve, is to help them to maintain the kind of life that they would like to live. And that's what we do. So it really is driven by them. But no, I think that those nursing homes are strong partners for us because they are providing much needed services to people and enabling them to get stronger and get healthy and independent again and return home.
You were talking a lot about the medical support that Kendall at Home will provide, but as you know, and as many people do know, that part of the medical condition of a human being is also involved with emotional or spiritual concerns on a more holistic approach. So in the Kendall at Home model, how are these emotional or spiritual concerns, which will impact healing and one's, you know, relationship to illness, how are they handled or are they handled?
Well, you know, I think that was a fear that we all had when we started 10 years ago. How will we meet those types of needs? What about socialization? How important that is? The last thing we want is for a member to be isolated and alone in their home. So how are we going to reach those kinds of goals? And, you know, I think the other strong point is that Kendall, one of the strongest things that you'll see in any Kendall community is the kind of environment that's created because of the people that live there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing to watch, but Kendall at Home members have created a community. They have book groups they run. They have bird watching events. They meet at orchestra or a movie or a play. They have events that they'll participate in with us. We have healthy aging events that we host for them. They have a strong relationship with our medical director. We have an Ask the Medical Director session at every healthy aging event. So they just have some time to sit and chat and talk about things that are of concern to them. But most importantly, they have the opportunity to interact with one another. They have their own member publication. They write a quarterly newsletter called Le Chat, and they come up with all kinds of topics that they choose to write about. We had a member who did a skydive a few months ago, and the cover of Le Chat is a picture of her in the midst of her skydiving. And so all of those things really that we were so concerned about in an at-home program have really come to fruition. And what we're finding now is that members are reaching out to one another. We had a philanthropy visioning exercise last week with a group of members, and they talked about, you know, a member whose sight has really become impaired. and she's not able to read recipes any longer. And there's lots of books on tape and things like that, but she hasn't been able to find a resource for reading recipes and exploring cooking the way she liked to do. So another member has offered to help her and is reaching out and will read recipes to her and those types of things. So I think that we're finding that they have developed a community and have a strong connection to one another. It's a little different. They don't all live in the same place. They don't have dinner together every night, but they've found ways to connect with one another for those that feel that's important. Others, I find, are still very much engaged in their communities and in the things that are important to them and have been important to them for so many years. So those are all a part of what goes into designing and meeting the needs of each of those members.
Yeah, so I think it's important because I think when you first hear about this, you have this image of, you know, let's say 100 members living in their own homes scattered around perhaps, you know, Cuyahoga County. And it's important, I think, for people to consider this, or even people who are thinking of developing something. You have a brick and mortar facility that people can come to, correct?
There is a brick and mortar facility in Oberlin, you know, which, as I said, is important for people that live in the Oberlin area. The majority of our members, though, don't live anywhere near that community. So
where do they go? Where do they go for these?
Well, they might come here to our office for an event.
That's what I mean.
We host events all over the community.
Oh, okay.
We try to host our events in the communities where they live. So, or we'll try to find a place that's centrally located. So we have a few places that we host events at that we hope are fairly easy for people to get to, and they'll come and spend a day, you know, involved in an event or have lunch together. We do an annual clam bake, and that's always a very popular event. A couple years ago, we hosted our clam bake at the Cleveland Indians ballpark in the Terrace Club, and members got a behind-the-scenes look at the dugout and the locker rooms and the press room, and really had a fun afternoon just engaging in activities with one another. So we try to look for events that really will bring people together and that appeal to them and their interests. And so it might be, you know, an event that's hosted at the Botanical Gardens or something like that. That really, we did a program on driving not too long ago. And, you know, it's a big concern for all of us as we age. You know, I pity the person that takes my car keys away from me someday.
Right.
I don't ever want to give that independence up. So we hosted a program at an antique car museum. And so it was great fun, but an important topic for all of us to talk about. And then a fun afternoon just looking at old cars and having lunch together and just that fellowship. So events can be anywhere that members would like to go, basically.
Got it. Just a reminder that this portion of Boomer Generation Radio has been brought to you by Kendall, a system of not-for-profit communities and services that advocates for and empowers older adults to reach their full potential. And together, we are transforming the experience of aging. And to learn more about Kendall, K-E-N-D-A-L, visit Kendall.org or call them toll-free at 888-759-0128. We've been speaking on this segment with Lynn Giacobbe, the executive director of this wonderful program called Kendall at Home, based in Ohio, and hopefully will continue to be developed. Lynn, we're out of time, and I want to thank you very much for joining us. Thank you for really just bringing a whole bunch of great information about this exciting, exciting program. We wish you good luck and continued success.
Thank you
all. See you all next week.
All right. Thank you.